You're listening to That Gratitude Guy podcast with David George Brooke. That Gratitude Guy. Learn about how gratitude turns what you have into enough through stories of motivation and inspiration. Wherever you are in your life and whatever you're going through, That Gratitude Guy is here to help you achieve great things and live a happier, healthier life. Change the way you live today right here with David George Brooke. That Gratitude Guy, starting now.
Well, hi, everyone. It is That Gratitude Guy podcast. I am David George Brooke, That Gratitude Guy, your host. Very excited to be doing my second podcast now, and we do them on the first and third Fridays of the month at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for the new listeners and the people that may not know, I like to mention what they can expect. We're going to have a lot of interesting and inspiring guests and motivational stories along the way. Hopefully a lot of examples of gratitude's immense power, which I feel very strongly about. I'll try to typically have a gratitude tip of the show or maybe a gratitude nugget that I can drop to enhance the aspects of gratitude and a deeper dive into gratitude and what it takes to become a gratitude believer. I've decided that the followers that decide to embrace gratitude as an attitude of gratitude and as a mindset, they'll become the gratitude believers and a lot more. And as I mentioned, it's on the first and third Fridays of the month on Transformation Talk Radio at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And also, just for those that are listening and who are interested, I do gratitude keynote speaking and gratitude coaching. And you can find me on thatgratitudeguy.com as well as David at thatgratitudeguy.com. And hopefully most of my guests will have aspects of how gratitude impacted them as well. So let me get on with the show and introduce my guest for this week. I'm going to let him tell you a little bit about himself in a minute, but I'm going to tell you first, Mark Caton out of San Diego, California, is a friend I've known for a number of years, and he has been an executive level professional for many, many years, more than we probably want to admit that both of us have done. But his experience has been founding a number of companies. Centella Capital was one, a financial services company, and then also Dictate Express. It's a national company with contracts for legal transcription for the state of California, Philadelphia Family Court, the state of Nevada, state of Oregon, and a number of other places, and also the founder of Pacific Ranch Realty. And so he's been very involved in that. He is a graduate with a psychology degree from UCLA as a Washington Husky. I won't hold that against him, of course. And maybe the most important thing of all, the very proud father of a wonderful daughter and two great sons, Mark Caton, welcome to the show.
Hey, all right. Nice to be on your show. Thank you.
And for the benefit of the listeners, I always like to step back and do a little bit of context. Tell the listeners how you and I met.
David, how long ago was it? Is it 30?
It's got to be 30 because I believe it was mid 80s. I would say about right.
Yeah, I'm thinking 30 years ago, I had the fortune to be transferred to was an employee of Nordstrom. And I had moved up there to run a sales force in Seattle and Portland and needed some new non-California suits. So I walked into the suit department and this gentleman came over to me and said, how can I help you? And I said, I'm in here to buy, I think, five suits, whatever it was. And I'm here to buy five suits. And I was throwing the big executive sales force manager thing around. And so we picked out five suits that looked pretty good on me. And back then I had a figure that actually complemented the suits rather than the suits complimenting me. So we laid out the suits. We laid out the shirts. I said, no, I'm going to have a whole thing. Everything I don't need, I got everything except shoes. So laid out ties. And I guess the best part of our relationship, and the reason it actually began, I think, is because at that point I said to David, I said, look, I'm buying six suits. What kind of a discount can you give to me? And David kind of looked at me and he said, you know, Mark, I'm giving you the discount of good taste. So I knew at that point I could either walk away with no suits or I could lay out the credit card, and I laid out the credit card.
So I remember it well. And fortunately for both of us, I think I remember it pretty similarly to that. So it's nice to know the memories are still holding up somewhat together. And I think back on that, one of the things that really struck me about meeting you initially is something that, and I think gratitude plays a part in this as well, is how quickly you make an assessment of somebody about what you think of them. And you extend the hand. We don't shake hands pretty much anymore because of COVID, but you extended the hand, Mark, David, Mark, nice to meet you. And I've always contended within about 60 to maybe 120 seconds, you get a flavor of what you think of this person. They either think they're really, really nice, or maybe they're kind of a knucklehead or whatever it might be. And I remember saying to you later about something when we wrapped up, you know, we got to be friends. We have to stay in touch. And I'm so fascinated by that, because I think that it's a similar mindset. Like attracts like. And I think people that have a gratitude mindset, as an example, attract other people. And there's people where it doesn't line up as well. And you think, well, it was nice to meet you, but, you know, honestly, I really don't care if I ever see that person again. And it's just, there's just sort of an energy thing. But which reminds me, when I think back, that's a perfect segue to where we are today. What's an example of something that maybe one or two top things that you would have thought, you know, now you would have liked to known then, that day after you met me, not so much about me, but maybe about just the approach to life or something you might pass on to your daughter or your sons?
Well, I think before I met the gratitude guy, I always tried to live with the cup half full, cup half empty, kind of a thought play in my mind. And I think gratitude better encapsulates the thought, because I think gratitude at that point, I have always tried to look at life with the cup half full. Mm-hmm. And I think gratitude, you know, gratitude is just such a powerful force in my life, in which I've tried very hard to pass on to my children. I mean, we, from a very young age, there's a Chinese proverb that said, I cried because I had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. And I think, you know, we can be very grateful for what we have. And so, you know, one of the things I wish I had learned earlier in my life would have been practicing that more often and reinforcing that. So I think things like your gratitude journal, and if it isn't the gratitude journal, and I'm not trying to kill your book sales, but if it isn't that, it's a piece of paper. Mm-hmm. I had a list back then of 100 things I wanted to accomplish before I got to this age. And I think that's kind of a reflection of things that I am grateful for and things that I've gotten to do in my life that, you know, maybe if I didn't have that 100 thing list, I might not have gotten to do.
Good point. And I think when you were talking about back then, the glass half full, glass half empty, I always think a great argument is the nature versus nurture. How do you feel that's impacted you? Because I sometimes think the answer is a little bit of both, but how do you think that impacted you? Where did that come from, that sort of glass half full? Because was it parents? Was it mentor, professor, somebody that helped you along the way? Or where did you think that came from?
Well, I think both you and I have had, and I think everybody out there has had anything from discomfort to tragedy in their life. Both you and I have shared over many years the things that we grew up with, the things that we learned that were tragic. But I think in the nature, nurture, I think psychology will tell you that by the age of 12, you pretty much are stamped what you're going to be. Mm-hmm. So if you have a disrespectful teenage son, you can look back 4 years from 16 to 12 and say, was he disrespectful at 12? And I would think you would find that if he isn't disrespectful at 16, he wasn't disrespectful at 12. And you really have those first years to implant those kinds of feelings. And I think that goes the same thing with gratitude. If you are speaking to your children, I think they are the sponges that you absorb, and you absorb everything that they say, and they absorb everything that you say even more. And I think so. I think nurture, if I had to lay my cards, I had to go to Las Vegas and put my money down, I'd say nurture.
Mm-hmm. And speaking of sons, because Alicia, your daughter, of course, is older, but Tyson, yes, Dane are still in the teenage years or in getting, you know, close to the early 20s. And so what do you think they would say that they learned from their dad? Because that's such a good point, the nature versus nurture. And what do you think the boys would say about this is what I really got from my dad in terms of motivation or direction or glass half full or that type of thing?
Well, let me go to my daughter, who is significantly older. I have an 18-year-old and a almost to be 21-year-old living with me in the house. But I'll go to my daughter because I asked my daughter, who's now 40, asked my daughter, what's the one thing that I taught you that you think she's working on her PhD right now. So, right, you know, she's done very well for herself. What's the one thing that I have you took away from me? And she said, Dad, hard work. There's no escape from hard work. There's luck, and sometimes you're in the right place at the right time. But having started businesses, it's hard work. You know, most businesses fail in the first couple of years. So for you to have, it's hard work. You get up in the morning and you work hard and you do it. And, you know, when it turns out that it's successful or it's lasted 16 to 20 years, or, you know, you've been in the real estate business like I have for 35, all of it is hard work and a little bit of luck. And you can sit back at my age, I'm 71. So at 71, I can look back. I think gratefulness and the idea of being grateful has played a major part in both the success, because if you're grateful, you're willing to work hard. If you're not, you're not willing to work hard.
Yeah.
As you see no benefit to it. You don't see the other side if you hate what you're doing.
Yeah. And that's such a great point about hard work. I just don't know if you can teach work ethic. I don't think you take work ethic 101 class, get an A, and all of a sudden now you have a great work ethic. And I agree, there's definite elements of luck as well, but no escape from hard work. Generally, that formula has been pretty successful in terms of getting what you want if you put a lot of hard work into it.
I think you and I are both examples of, yeah, hard work has gotten us to where we are. Mm-hmm. So I would disagree with you. I think you can impress hard work on your family or your, mm-hmm, sons or your daughter. Mm-hmm. But they don't get it because you are sitting there with your feet up on the desk.
Right.
You know, today going through Amazon.com to figure out what's the coolest and cheapest things you can buy. Mm-hmm. It's because you start early, get up early, you treat yourself well. I always try to work hard, play hard.
Yeah.
So if I sold a house, then I'd pick something that I, you know, my watches, for example. If I sold a house, had a little, I'd invest it there, mm-hmm, in things that are important to me, or cars. Mm-hmm. I mean, it just depends on taking care of yourself. So you have to also reward yourself for hard work.
Right. And I think also, in our role as parents, when I said I don't think you can teach work ethic, but I think what you described is something I've always felt very strongly about, and that is the fact that as a parent, I also think as a manager of employees too, the number one skill set I think you have to bring to the table is set a good example. Like you said, you're not sitting at the dining room table with your feet up on there. You're not ordering off Amazon. You're out there leaving the work, going to work, working hard, getting home, getting back there the next day, working late the night before, whatever it might be. And the sons or the daughter or the children see that. And I think that's one of the best ways to be that consistent role model, because people will do what we do much more than we say.
So, oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And children mimic what they see in the house. Mm-hmm. Now, that sometimes works to our detriment. And how is that? Because maybe I should have been home a little bit more. Maybe I shouldn't have taken that trip to make a sales call. But I can tell you that in the early days, I was thankful that I had a wife who would support me. I was thankful that I had a beautiful young daughter at the time. But I learned something very early in my sales career. I met two gentlemen who had just taken over a company I was working for called Memorex Corporation. And they were from Italy. And we were in the middle of this conversation over here, and we were talking about sales and all that stuff. And in the middle of that, one of the new guys gets up, one of the new owners of this company with Memorex, and had a great name. And most people remember it as, is it Live? Is it Ella? Is it Memorex? He got up in the middle of the meeting and he went to the phone and he called his kids in Italy. And I said, why did you do that? And he said, because I made a commitment to them that if I did this deal, knowing that I'm in Italy and the company's in America, I would stay in touch with them. And he committed to it. And it was a great lesson I learned. Because when I was traveling, I sent my daughter a postcard from every new city.
Wow.
Just so that she would have it.
That's so
cool. And she still has those postcards today.
Oh, I'll bet. Oh, that's really neat. So I want to shift a little bit to something that when I think about gratitude and this attitude, focusing on what you have versus what you don't have, and gratitude turns what you have into enough. And I think in the many, what we decide, 35, 40 years we've known each other, we've both seen each other go through a lot of ups and downs. And as I always say, life is like a roller coaster. It's not all up, it's not all down. It's going to be a series of all these different moves and so forth. But if I look at a couple of things, you didn't have to get into the detail of what they specifically were or are, but a couple of things you've gone through, I'm thinking one or two things on my mind in the last few years, what has helped? It's been trying, to say the very least, on you. So what has helped you? Because I think I look at the pandemic, I look at the people that are struggling, it's the economy, it's so many issues that are out there. COVID-19 has been one of the biggest things of all, of course, maybe more than anything else that's ever happened to most of us. And so what has kind of kept you going? And I think so often people, when they hear from somebody like you that's very accomplished and has done a lot in life and been a great provider and a great father and a great worker and all these types of things, what were some of the things that you dealt with as far as maybe coping mechanisms or ways that you got through some of these big challenges that I know you've had?
You know, I have two life-changing moments that I can relate to, and it'll come back to your question. And these aren't about the low points. These are just about experiences that I experienced. When I was at UCLA, I went and spent 6-7 months traveling through Europe. I dropped out of UCLA, went to Europe on a motorcycle. And I learned there that it doesn't take very much to survive. I mean, we have people every day surviving under a bridge, living, you know, however they can live. And I also went to Africa, not during that trip, but in a later trip. And I saw abject poverty. So I know what low can be. I know what it's like. And I've tried to expose my children to that. We've gone on lots of trips and I've taken them places you might not think. For example, I took my kids on purpose to go to Compton in Los Angeles. And we drove through Compton. It's difficult in Compton. And one of the things they came away with was, Dad, there's no grass here. Because they were younger. But they did see what was happening in Compton. And it shapes their lives because they know how bad things can get. So that being said, I've always had a bottom line. Bottom line is I know I've seen things that are not great. So I can be thankful. I can be grateful for what I have. I often say to my children, you've never missed a meal. They're very fortunate. They've never missed a meal. You've always had a roof over your head. So, you know, I don't know if I answered your question, but the gratefulness is so ingrained in my life. When there's been tragedy in my life, and everybody has tragedy in their life. I don't know anyone who has gotten to my age or your age, David, who has not suffered tragedy, whether it's the loss of a wife, the Hodgkin's disease, or divorce, or financial ruin because of whatever happens. You know, you can come out of that because you know, A, you have the skills, B, you have the resilience, and C, you have a level of gratefulness, David, that even when we hit the bottom, there's this gratefulness that says, hey, I'm grateful. Back to my, I saw a man who had no shoes until I saw a man who had no feet. Back to that. I'm grateful I've got shoes. You know, I'm grateful. And so from there, we have that attitude of gratitude, which I think without, you really can't, you punish yourself. I think it's a punishment of yourself for whatever reason of not being grateful.
Well, and I think that's very well said. And I think as an example, I'm curious about what maybe your go-to methodology or idea or thought is when it's really tough, because I've had people say, I saw a man who had no shoes and I had no shoes and I saw a man who had no feet. Then there's people say, yeah, well, he's got his problems, I've got mine. There's people that don't understand that concept. And of course, here's the Daily Gratitude Journal, which helps me a tremendous deal, because it says right here, if you think about it, it's like a dream. If you talk about it, it inspires you. But if you write about it, it empowers you. I can write it. I am so grateful for my great friend, Mark Caton. I've gotten to know him all these years and that's been such a loyal friend and so forth. So when you talk about, because that's a tremendous attitude you have, but when you've gotten and it's really down in the bottom, do you have any way of that, at that particular point that you think, oh, this was what I had to do on that day? For me, it's writing in that gratitude journal, maybe making a phone call or doing something. But do you have anything when it's really tough, when you get down to the bottom of the barrel?
You mean
how to deal with it?
When you're in the hospital and the doctor comes to you and he says to you, and you're 23 years old, I can save your baby or I can save your wife. It doesn't get much lower than that. Mm. And what you do then is you do exactly what you said. You go home, you pick up the phone, you call your loved ones, you call your friends, you call your shrink. You reach out, because we as humans have limited capacity. And sometimes that capacity is filled to the brim. And unless we give it, and the person who we give it to is grateful, a grateful person will take that person's burden. A grateful person will understand that person's burden. And people, when you're 23 and that happens to you and you turn around and you reach out and they're there for you, that's what I do. I write it down. I journal it. I reach out. I get the help I need from wherever I think I can find it.
Excellent. We got to wrap up in about a minute. What's the one nugget you'd love to have people take away from listening to Mark Caton?
Life is short. Someday you too will be 71. Hopefully you'll be grateful.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, thank you so much. So I will mention a couple of things, and thank you again, Mark, for being on the show. I really much
appreciate it. My pleasure. Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
You bet. And I appreciate everybody tuning in and so forth. And so just a couple of reminders. Again, my podcast is broadcast on Transformation Talk Radio on the first and third Fridays of the month at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. But also let me know where you get your podcasts, the favorite places you have and where you access them and so on. And please subscribe and give me a 5-star rating if you like what you hear. I really appreciate that. And as I mentioned earlier, I do gratitude keynote speaking and gratitude coaching. You can reach me at thatgratitudeguy.com and or email at david@thatgratitudeguy.com. My guest next time will be Faith Ireland. She's a former justice on the Washington State Supreme Court, and she will share some great stories of resilience. And then do stay tuned following my podcast for the Empowered Through Health podcast with Diane Solano, where you can take your health to the next level, featuring a different health topic every single week. So until next time, I am David George Brook, That Gratitude Guy, and my sign-off is always the same. Remember, be grateful and never quit. So long.
Thank you for listening to That Gratitude Guy podcast with David George Brook, where living with gratitude turns what you have into enough. Transformation starts now, and you have everything you need to achieve great things. In a world that is constantly changing, there is motivation and inspiration right in front of us, and you can find yours right now. Don't wait. Visit thatgratitudeguy.com to get started living with gratitude today.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.